Jean-Paul Chaisson Cardenas came to Iowa State a few years ago as the statewide director of youth development for 4-H. We interviewed him on Local Talk shortly after he began in that position, and he spoke about the goal of making 4-H more inclusive and making the leadership development aspects of 4-H available to all students in the state. However, Jean-Paul was dismissed from his position in August following months of turmoil over a proposed LGBT policy. The suggestion of incorporating such a policy initially came from the national level several years ago, but as it became public, it drew strong criticism from conservative groups and was pulled back by the current administration last March. I sat with Jean-Paul this past week and asked him to walk us through what had happened. Tell me a bit about your background, if you will.
Personally, I'm from Guatemala, Central America. I lived all over the United States, especially in rural areas, places like Cheyenne, Wyoming. And I worked in areas like Montana and Idaho and so forth. So I've known rural communities really well for a very long time. I have also been working with youth development and youth, especially around the issues of equity, civil rights, et cetera, for 20 plus years.
And so it was in that capacity that you came to Iowa and to Iowa State to take a position with 4-H.
Yes. At the time, Dr. Kath Ann Kress was the VP of Extension, brought me in specifically to help 4-H become more inclusive. They had had some federal reviews that were less than desirable, and part of my job was, written into my job description, was helping 4-H become more inclusive. It was something I took great pride in and did a lot of work around.
And so that was something you had been working on in your past experiences and was part of your mission in your new position at ISU.
Well, it was at the national level. It was the number one focus for 4-H. At the state level, it was the number one focus 4-H. Previous to coming to me, it was Dr. Kath Ann Kress who actually decided that and moved that forward, and part of the reason I got brought in. And with my background, that's what I was given to understand, and it's also my job description.
And just as an aside, Dr. Kress is no longer at ISU, is that correct?
No, she has gone to Ohio.
For those of us who may not understand it, can you explain how 4-H is administered or governed at both the national and the state levels?
So 4-H is a congressionally authorized program through USDA. And it is the youth development program. A lot of people think it's just ag, but it's really a youth development program for the United States. And so, especially through the Department of Agriculture. And it's around youth development, so positive youth development. So the sense of belonging of youth, of being in youth, to be able to go beyond and find their careers in technology and health, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a program around youth. It is administered in Iowa by the Land-Grant University, which is Iowa State University. And then it is also, they oversee the local work that's happening in each one of the counties, 99 counties. 4-H in Iowa serves over 100,000 youth. Just a very, like, one in five youth in Iowa are in 4-H.
So as I said before, you were the Iowa State Director of Youth Development for 4-H. But through a sequence of events that happened, you're no longer in that position. So that's what we want to talk about. And it began around a statement of 4-H at the national level. And I'm reading the title of the statement. It was 4-H Guidance for Inclusion of Individuals of All Gender Identities, Gender Expressions, Sexual Orientations, and Sexes. And those guidelines were released at the national level. Tell us about that.
Well, they were developed through one of the things about 4-H is it's both an organization and a program. So the state leaders, my counterparts across the United States, had been working on the statement for a while, and it went through the process, and then it was taken up to the national level where it was adopted by USDA. Under the guidance of the USDA itself, under President Obama, who had released guidance around making sure that LGBTQ youth or people are included in all programs. And so that was the context that we began our work in. And so because there was some complaints in Iowa around our inclusion, and because of certain instances, including a couple of highly publicized cases in Iowa where transgender youth were denied services in youth programs, we moved forward to look at that policy as the guidelines that we would use to really develop our own mechanisms to be able to support LGBT youth in the state. And we did that. We asked for permission from USDA. USDA gave us permission. We began to roll it out. We sent it through leadership team and extension. They looked at it. The only thing they suggested is make sure that they add the policy that's already exists within Iowa State University. It's the same stuff. There's not a lot of difference there. Mm-hmm. So we did that. And then we released it for public comment. It was a proposal. It was not said and done. It was just a proposal. And during that time, while it was in public comment, the Trump administration pulled the federal guidelines. According to the reporting of Des Moines Register, I don't have those documents. Those are something that they did a lot of work around, and so I really take off my hat to them. I found out that the Trump administration themselves had asked to pull the documents from the state. That I did know because I was asked to pull them, and I said, I don't think that's a good idea. Let's let the process finish, and then we'll kind of look at that. During that time, there was a nationally recognized hate group, recognized by the Southern Poverty Law Center, began to mobilize and wrote some articles really disparaging not only Iowa 4-H around the LGBT issue, but also other states that were kind of working in this subject area. And so they sent letters, including legal letters, to say, you need to remove this, and so forth.
To send letters to
Iowa State, USDA, okay. All the other states. Mm-hmm. And so
it started getting national attention.
It got national attention. And then a group in Iowa called Focus for the Family began. And we began to receive thousands of complaints, just really hurtful things being written about LGBTQ youth. So that's how all of this began. During that period of time, I actually wrote a memo to leadership saying, you know, this reaction that we're having is the same type of reaction our youth have mm-hmm. in their communities, and why we started this. We need to stay the course. We need to protect youth. We need to be deliberate about protecting youth, and not just say that we're inclusive, but say how we're inclusive. And there was exception taken to that within extension in Iowa State University.
So what happened next?
Well, it continued. We got almost to the end point of the process, which we should have. It was, again, a proposal. So we were at the proposal stage. And the decision-making was taken away from 4-H and went to extension overall. And so and the policy was reversed and something new was written and put in. And so not only that, but they also changed the website and took authority for policymaking away from 4-H, something that was in my job description.
And what was the difference between their policy or their guidelines and things that you thought were important in other versions?
Well, let me make some clarity. I'm never intended or don't want to write university policy and never did. Program policy is something different, and I check what is the procedure for doing it, and we're following the program policy work. Now, the document itself was three parts that we submitted. The first part was simply the policy as it existed federally, state, and at ISU University, and that's the section that we call policy. Then there was a section called definitions, and then there was guidance. Guidance really is, you know, if you're confronted with a situation, here's some things you should consider doing, right? And so all three of those things were in the document. So a lot of people confuse or confound policy and guidance, but this was really trying to help people navigate how they're going to interact. And there were things like, yes, the big conflict one was around bathrooms. Kids in our state already have the legal authority through Iowa civil rights to be able to use whichever bathroom corresponds with their gender identity. And so that was something that we were just reinforcing the changing your name, requesting your name change, and kids already have the authority to do it. We were following also the guidance that was released by the Iowa Department of Education around LGBTQ youth. And so everything that was in there was not surprising. It was just what it was. It was steeped in and cited and deeply cited. You know, we're an academic institution, citations are important, and they were all in there. What was changed to was very vague language, and an additional clause was added where really only an adult could request the accommodation. So I had three things that I stated in writing to my boss and to the university, and I asked three questions around why was this being changed without the process. So we've gone through a regular process, and it got subverted to something different. We changed the process in the middle of it because of the pressure of these conservative groups. And I asked the question, why are we doing this? Why are we letting hate rule the day? And that was taken an exception. So, you know, it is what it is. And they had the right to do that. They have the authority to do the policy. And so I never questioned that. But I asked around the policy because I was told that I needed to support the policy verbally. I was in written language in a letter. I was told that no matter what they came out with, I had to support. And I said, I cannot support this in this present state. And here's a couple reasons why. One of them was that the language of accommodation, it had to be an adult. It had to be a volunteer or a parent had to request an accommodation. To me, that's language from disability. It didn't fit very well, and it was problematic, especially if a youth hadn't come out or if something else was going on. And when I read the best of my understanding, you know, I'm not an attorney, but the best of my understanding, we don't want to put barriers in front of kids to be able to access their civil rights. So that was, to me, a major barrier. Not only that, but they had to report it to a county office. Then the county office had to report it to two state staff and then to a third state staff. So the minimum amount of people who would know before the kids could get an accommodation was four people within the system. To me, there's a huge violation of privacy. You know, and it takes away the agency of the kid, which in our core principles for 4-H, there's really that self-autonomy, that sense of belonging are very core principles to our program. They're fundamental parts of our program. And that was being removed from them. And so I was, you know, I was asking the questions around that, just asking the questions. And so that was taken as not playing with the team. I was rocking the boat. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened. To that effect, I continued to work the system, so I testified at the climate survey
forum where they released the results of the big climate survey they had done at ISU.
And my understanding, and they stated it at that time, is that that was protected. I testified, my boss was there when I testified, and first thing in the morning, next morning, I received disciplinary action.
This was in late spring?
We're getting into late spring, yes.
So then you continued to work in your position over the summer?
Well, I was asked to resign. I said no. I didn't see the reason for having to resign. So I continued to work. Summer came about. Everybody disbanded. There was a couple of different things that happened, but nothing hugely or major. And then in August, I was brought in without any warning. I was sat down and told that I was dismissed.
And by this time, Dr. Kress was no longer in her position as vice president.
This whole time, John Lawrence, VP, had been appointed just at the beginning of this. Dr. Kress hasn't been here for over a year, mm-hmm. year and a half. This started right around Dr. Lawrence's appointment. Mm-hmm. So it is in his tenure.
And what did you experience personally during this time in terms of the pushback?
Oh, my gosh. I had all kinds of things. I had, you know, first of all, I had some amazing people call me and say, you know what, thank you so much. This is what we need. We've lived in fear. We want to come out. You know, I had staff of mine tell me, you know, I don't even come out at work because when you go out to counties, and this is something that's corroborated by the climate survey, by the way. It's in there. And so that was something beautiful about the process. Bad part was the hate, and it was just messages of of hate over and over again. There was so much around that. You know, there's statements around kids being pedophiles. There were statements around, you know, just really hurtful things, including threats to my person for proposing the change in policy and guidance. And so I reported that to my supervisors, but was told that I shouldn't do anything more about it.
Were there other folks at or other departments at ISU that spoke out in support of your efforts?
I reached out to the diversity groups within mm-hmm. campus. And so the Office of Equal Opportunity. But I was told that they had been encouraged not to chime in. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of left them. I had some private conversations with some wonderful people. Mm-hmm. But this was an extension problem, not a campus problem, is how it was framed.
When you were terminated in your position, was there a reason given?
There was three reasons given. One, the verbal reason was because my inclusion work was getting in the way of their extension work. That was almost a direct quote. But the letter itself said I was an at will employee, and they were simply deciding to let me go. And something happened after let me go. They made a release. They made a public release to all staff that I had been terminated or had been let go. For Des Moines Register got a hold of that, and they called John Lawrence. And I received a text message that evening, so after this all happened, after they did it, a text message that said that I was let go for cause. So there was a change there, and the cause was that I didn't play well with others and so forth. So that came as a shock to me. I don't understand when reasons change like that. I never quite understood why I was terminated.
What's going on now? What's the status of things?
We filed a complaint for an investigation with the Iowa Civil Rights Commission, and we're letting that process go. And then because of this whole thing and because it was front page news, my name is inextricably tied to this. So if you Google my name, it's mm-hmm. all over the press, national press, state press, you know, with hundreds of comments of hate and so forth. And so it's been very difficult to find a position. And so just about a week ago, New Year's, I decided that I needed to give up my career, I didn't have opportunities anymore in my career. Because I went to several interviews, and they said, we love you, we love your skill set, we love what you're doing, but, you know, you're just too visible. And so at this time, I decided to go back to school. And so that's what I'm going to do. It's been about 6 months without a paycheck, without insurance, you know. And so it's been a struggle for our family. And so I took a stand that I thought was in accordance with what Iowa State University stood for, that our program stood for, that National 4-H stood for. So I don't understand how making a proposal around inclusion of LGBT youth became such a horrible thing. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. And so I have to be, you know, where I go in my understanding of things is I am a person of color who was vocal about equity and civil rights at a very white institution, advocating for a group of folks who have been consistently mistreated by our institution, by our state, by our communities, in an environment that's so politically charged. And so it is what it is.
Do you have any knowledge of how this played out in other states?
Different places had different things. California didn't really alter anything. They had very strong. They had New York, where they kept on going. You know, in other states, like, you know, like Idaho pulled down everything. And what I do know is that the federal websites, anything on LGBTQ, it's gone now. Mm-hmm. They took out all the committees. They took out all the things. So I've seen really a change. And that's just where it is politically right now. Where I don't understand is we have really strong civil rights law in our mm-hmm. state that really says anyone should be able to use whatever bathroom they, you know, meets their gender identity, that says that if you want to change your name, you should be able to change your name. The things that are in there, they're very consistent in the policy, proposed policy, are very consistent with that. Again, how can a proposal become something to end somebody's career with?
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us, and thank you for all you've done and tried to do to make our state really a more welcoming and inclusive place for students of all social identities. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
That was Jean-Paul Chaisson-Cardenas, the former statewide director of youth development for 4-H. At the time of his dismissal by ISU last August, I reached out to the ISU Office of Diversity and Inclusion, and they would not comment. Recently, I spoke with Daniel Hoffman Zinnel, executive director of One Iowa, a statewide lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender organization.
Well, I grew up in Northwest Iowa on a farm in rural Iowa, outside of a town called Pomeroy, which is about 650 people or so. And I was in 4-H for 10 years and loved the program and definitely believe in the value it provides to young people across our country and especially here in Iowa. And I valued my experience being a 10-year 4-H'er as well. So having watched this and kind of observed, I think Courtney Crowder, with her investigative reporting through the Des Moines Register, really found that it led up to the Trump administration. And we've already talked about the Trump administration and this harmful rhetoric that they've created. And this is just one additional component to this trend we're seeing, where they're specifically focused on the LGBTQ community, but especially the transgender and non-binary mm-hmm. community, and the way that they view our community as a whole. So this policy goes all the way up to the White House, and the White House views this as not something that should be implemented or executed across the country. And our take on it is, our Iowa Civil Rights Act was amended back in 2007 to include protections for LGBTQ community members, which include sexual orientation and gender identity as part of our Iowa Civil Rights Act. And this potential policy would have kind of aligned with our Iowa Civil Rights Act. And I think we would recommend that ISU Extension continue to look at how they can work on aligning their policies to align with the Iowa Civil Rights Act view on sexual orientation and gender identity.
Did your organization issue any kind of statement as this was playing out?
Yes. I believe there was a time where they were looking for public input from community members across the state of Iowa, and we issued a letter in tandem with a variety of community leaders in support of rolling out a policy that was inclusive of LGBTQ community members across the state of Iowa.
Do you see this as a particular setback for the rights of transgender and non-binary individuals, particularly youth in Iowa, and access to the multitude of resources and opportunities that 4-H can provide?
I think the PR related to it, yes. So if I'm a youth in 4-H and see all of this happen, I think it definitely sends a message to our LGBTQ youth. We do still have our Iowa Civil Rights Act that all employers, especially public employers, need to follow. And I think as a public institution, there are additional scrutinizations that follow those institutions as a whole. And so I think it just would behoove ISU Extension to just follow the Iowa Civil Rights Act and incorporate those components as part of their policy moving forward.
That was Daniel Hoffman Zinnel, the executive director of One Iowa, speaking about the LGBT policy that was proposed for 4-H and led to the dismissal of its statewide director of youth development. Although a number of groups spoke out in support of the policy at various times, there has not been much outcry about John Paul's firing. In his words, it's been very quiet.